What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B and E with you. No B today, Bucky, as we said, making getting all the final work done for the Mullet Open on Friday and the Mini Mullet Open tomorrow. And as we said on the way to the top of the hour, if you would like to play in the Mini Mullet Open, which is the smaller tournament, but it has great prizes and great fun, a little bit of a different format with the four players and a bit of a shamble. Coming up here later on this hour, I'll tell you, you can win those two spots. We'll give them to you. Bucky has said they've got a couple of spots. Everything else is jam-packed full. The other two spots would be Friday to play with myself and Quan Cosby. If you missed my conversation with Quan earlier this morning, you can always go back on the podcast. We talk Texas football and everything else, but also come in to play with us tomorrow. If you go to the go to my Twitter account, at Aaron Hogan, you can find the link to the BidBid app where you can bid in the auction. And, of course, every penny will be donated right to the Burke Center for Youth. Great organization that Bucky is, it's near and dear to his heart. So you get to play with us. You get the great dinner from Louis Miller Barbecue. You get all the access to the raffle and the prizes and the fun that we always have at the Mullet Open, the 21st playing on Friday. So go to the BidBid app or my Twitter account. And also this hour, we'll give away those two spots in the Mini Mullet coming up tomorrow. How about that, Zay? This thing's gotten so big, they've got to have a Mini Mullet Open for people who want to play golf. And that's full, too.
Yeah, pretty crazy, but that shows how Buck has just expanded this event. And, yeah, he works so hard. It seems like next week he'll be starting the 2023 process.
Yeah, man. That's what he does. It's year-round for him. And I know he's stressing out because his teammate on this is Jancy Darling. She's been the tip of the spear helping him put this thing on for years and years. And she's helped him get it to this point, but now she's come down with the COVID, and so she can't be there. So Bucky is on eggshells and pins and needles trying to get this thing put together. But it'll go great. We'll have a great time tomorrow and Friday. And we'll be broadcasting live from Wolf Dancer coming up Friday morning from 6 to 10. And then the tee time is at 11. So we're looking forward to it. It's a fun week. We've already also got some NBA. Game one in the books, Eastern Conference Finals last night. It's heat all over the Celtics in the second half. They take game one. Celtics, remember, play without Marcus Smart. That was big, Zay. With no Marcus Smart, Jimmy Butler, that would have been his assignment. He's the defensive player of the year in the league, and Butler went crazy with 41. Do you think that we know the prognosis if Marcus Smart, the former Oklahoma State Cowboy, can get back?
He's dealing with two injuries. He's dealing with a knee injury that he hurt in game seven of that Milwaukee Bucks series. And then he also hurt his calf. So I think it just depends. But, you know, in today's NBA, they're not going to risk it.
Yeah, got to be careful. But they need him because Butler just was, as you said, 41 points without a three-pointer. I mean, that was just getting work done. Going to the basket, being aggressive, playing great defense too, as Jimmy Butler usually does. Game one tonight, Mavericks and Warriors. Also had the Longhorns getting a big win last night, or at least one of their final four home games. They got the victory 9-2 over Sam Houston. Ivan Melendez hit another home run, 26 now. Four more RBIs for the nation's leader in all those categories. Having a heck of a season. Longhorns now staring down Kansas this weekend, starting Thursday at the Dish. But the other top sports story is at Southern Hills Country Club, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The PGA Championship will tee off tomorrow. And joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, our favorite golf insider from Titleist Golf. He was our on-the-course correspondent at the Masters. He's now going to help us get ready for the second golf major, our buddy Brett Garrett. Brett, what's going on, bud?
Morning, gentlemen. Jay, E, how are we?
We are good. Are you ready for the second major of the golf season? And how shocking that Tiger Woods will be playing and Phil Mickelson, the defending champ of this event, will not be playing.
Yeah, that's a story in itself. You know, the whole Phil thing, we don't have to get into that. But, boy, it's nice to see Tiger out there. I was listening to yesterday, he talking about, you know, how Tiger's got to be able to practice in between rounds. You know, when we were talking at Augusta, we predicted he was going to play well. But, you know, after that second day, his body really started wearing down, and he couldn't practice. And that led to him really struggling on the putting greens over the weekend at Augusta. I'm really hoping that this week, I mean, you've seen a lot of practice in him. on the Golf Channel coverage. He's been playing a lot. He's moving better. So, you know, obviously not as hilly there at Southern Hills. And I would take your bet that he'll win another PGA tournament again. I heard that one, too.
You would. You would take the – no, the bet was if, for $1,000, Tiger Woods will win another PGA event at some point. You would be on the side of, yes, he will.
I definitely think he will. You know, he's going to be real selective about where he plays. Obviously, Southern Hills is somewhere he's very comfortable playing, winning in 2007. You know, he's gonna schedule his golf around where he's comfortable and where he knows he can play well.
Yeah, this would be one. You're right, he won it the last time the PGA Championship was there in 07. They also played the 01 U.S. Open on this course at Southern Hills. Retief Goosen, the winner there. Several other PGA Championships and U.S. Opens. What? Give me your thoughts on Southern Hills and its history. They've renovated this course. They've tried to lengthen it, but it's a great historic golf course. What's been changed?
Yeah, that's great. Like we were talking yesterday, you know, I've done a deep dive into this. They went in before the 07 championship when Tiger, when they really started to kind of redesign and bring back Perry Maxwell, great designer. You know, he's had his hands in Augusta National, Merriam, Crystal Downs, Prairie Dunes, one of the greatest of all time. When you talk about architects and designers of golf courses and visionaries. So what they did, they started in the early 2000s of kind of reshaping that. You know, obviously, naturally, over time, the course is going to grow in, the grass is going to grow in, the trees are going to get bigger. And then what really happened is when Gil Hance came in, you know, he's one of those modern guys that, you know, he designed the Olympic course in the 2016 games in Brazil. He's done tons of major golf course or major championship restorations, whether it be Wingfoot, L.A. Country Club. He's designing the new PGA of America headquarters in Frisco, their course, one of the courses there. So what Gil did real quick, you know, he went in there, he opened up the fairways a little more, he took out more trees, and he brought back the creeks in Southern Hills. And you'll see those on the covers this week. That, you know, the creeks come into play in almost every hole out there, winding around. He really brought those back to life. And one thing he really did was he created the runoffs from the greens again. You know, that it kind of wasn't there in 07. So it's going to be very cool to see those great iron players trying to hold those greens, because if they don't, it's going straight off those greens.
Yeah, be interesting to see the way it plays. And Scottie Scheffler is a guy I've picked, you know, in our Horn FM pick. I picked him in our first group, and why not? I just went with guys who are playing great. He seems to be locked in, Scottie Scheffler, Brett. He's won four times. He won the Masters. He just is playing with uber confidence, and we know he likes this golf course quite a bit.
Yeah, I listened to your picks this morning. You had some great ones. Obviously, you can't pick all the best guys in each group. I love Scheffler. He's on absolute fire right now. He loves the course. You know, he's won the Big 12 championship there. And you know, if you it's interesting. If you look at, you know, kind of the last 5 years of the PGA championship, you know, the lowest score in the last 5 years is 16 under, and that was Koepka at Bellerive. That was a very gettable golf course. You know, Tiger almost won. But last year, Phil Keough, obviously very difficult course, minus six. Morikawa at TPC Harding Park, minus 13. Koepka at Bethpage, minus eight. You know, they're going to set this golf course up to where they don't want somebody going, you know, 20 under. I'd say the winner, you're going to look at somebody that is a great iron player like Scotty is. I look to it to be, I'd say, 11 or 12 under probably wins this week.
Also in that group one, Brett Garrett is with us, our golf insider and great friend of the show, Titleist Golf. You know, Patrick Cantlay is a guy you mentioned. He's in group one along with Rahm and Morikawa, defending a previous champion. Victor Hovland's a guy that might be poised. Give me your thoughts on why you like Cantlay and maybe John Rahm this week.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are two of my guys that would be my picks. The big thing about Southern Hills is this is a second shot golf course, right? This is a golf course, whether you got a short par four, you're hitting a wedge in, or you've got a long par four, you know, like the 18th, where you're going to be hitting long iron in. The great iron players of the game right now are going to be at an advantage this week, and Rahm and Cantlay are certainly those guys. Rahm just won his last start in Mexico. He's got a second and a third this year, five top tens. Obviously one of the best ball strikers in the world. Cantlay, number five in the world right now. He's playing great golf, tied two at the RBC when Spieth won a few weeks ago. Six top tens this year. You know, we've seen him over the years at major championships. Just he'll fire at every 10. But yeah, I mean, those ball strikers are going to take advantage of a very important second shot golf course this week.
Brett Garrett, Titleist. What about Jordan Spieth? He just finished runner-up after winning at RBC Heritage in Hilton Head. He finishes runner-up at Byron Nelson. He's got the new looking, you know, little swing preparation he goes through before he strikes the ball, trying to get inside the club, inside the swing a little bit. And he's trying to finish off the career Grand Slam. We know he's won a Master. He's got a U.S. Open. He's got the Open. Finished second in the PGA Championship in 15, that magical season. You got to feel like, you know, Jordan comes in feeling like he can go get this thing.
You're right. He's my number one pick this week. And give mom and dad credit there for you know, cheering him on to a win down in Harbortown. That was fun to watch the week after the Masters. They were there with him. But you're right. He is on fire right now. It was awesome last week watching his iron play. And again, I go back to iron play because that's so important at Southern Mills. Something has clicked with Jordan with his irons because he's figured out the driver. But I think that routine that you're talking about, he's really starting to get comfortable with those irons. I mean, last week you were watching him. There wasn't any shot that, you know, he looked at that. I mean, a couple of those shots he hit out of the rough that went onto the green, I mean, those are not easy golf shots. It's fun to see his iron game dialed back in because at one time, I mean, he was the best iron player in the world. And it's fun to see him get back to that.
Well, if he can continue it's going to be there. And I feel bad for him. I you know, watching that 18th hole on Sunday, and he needed an eagle, and it looked like he had hit it stiff right at the flag. And it looked like it was going to bounce up and roll up under the hole for eagle, or for at least an attempt at eagle. And he just got one of those bad golf kicks. It just kind of bounced straight up in the air and straight back down on the fringe. But even that, you know, under pressure, knowing he needed an eagle, he still striped it and hit it right at the flag.
Yeah, that's, you're right. It's fun to see him back in form. I'm going to touch on a couple things real quick that I think is interesting at Southern Hills.
Go for it.
Some of the holes. First off, we'll talk about the winning score from last year at the 2021 Senior PGA, which is a major for those guys. 8 under. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, I said 11, 12 under. This course is going to play a lot tougher than it did for the older guys last year. But keep an eye on number 5. It's a par 5, 656-yard par 5.
Jeez.
What's really cool, though, is it's got a kind of a split fairway, and there's trees that go down the middle. So you can go up the left or right side. That'll be a fun one to watch those long hitters. You know, are they going to go for it? What are they going to do there? Number 12, Arnie and Ben Hogan both said that's one of the best par 4s in America. 461-yard dog leg, kind of a blind uphill tee shot, and then down into this beautiful, beautiful green that's surrounded by those creeks I was talking about, and then 4 big bunkers. I think you'll really enjoy that one. And then 17 and 18, and in my opinion, this tournament's going to come right down to the finish, right down to the wire on Sunday. 17 is a drivable par 4 if you choose to go for it. It is guarded by the creek and a lot of bunkers, but it's only playing at 370 yards. So some of those guys can really go after that. That's going to be fun to watch. And then 18 is a beast of a par 4, elevated green. You can go down the right side, but it brings the creek into play to get a better angle at the green. I think you'll see most guys going up the left side, up the top of the shelf. It'll be interesting to see. I guarantee you there's going to be 2 guys coming down 18 on Sunday, and 17 and 18 are going to play a vital role in who wins.
Brett Garrett with good stuff right there. Southern Hills, the site. It's tomorrow, tee time, all the way through Sunday with the PGA Championship. So you're going Spieth, Brett, it sounds like, as your overall number one pick. And give us a couple other, maybe some sleepers that the folks can be watching and when they're making their picks at hornfm.com.
100%, E. I'm ready for you. Max Homa, 2 wins this year, a guy that I really, really like. He's number 28 in the world. He's on a big streak. He's one of those golfers that's real streaky. But he's also a fantastic iron player, like we've been talking about. Another guy that's a fantastic iron player and a really good player in the wind, Sam Burns. Number 13 in the world, 2 wins this year. Valspar, it's not an easy course to win on. It was windy that week. He's got 6 top 10s, and he's 11th in greens in regulation. Goes back to the iron play right there. And this isn't really a sleeper because of who it is, but it is for me right now because how he's been playing, Brooks Koepka, okay? You know, he loves the PGA Championship. Last 4 PGAs, tied 2nd, tied 29th, win. We'll see.
Yeah, well, hard to go against that. He's had some injuries, but, man, when he's locked in, His putting also has been a little bit off of late in his head a little bit with Brooks Koepka. We'll see if he can turn that at Southern Hills. Brett, great stuff. Let me ask you this real quick in closing. Obviously, when this tournament wraps up, whoever wins it on Sunday, the next big story in golf is going to be this LIV Invitational and the Saudi-backed league.
Sure.
I mean, this is you're in the golf industry. How is this playing? What do you think the next 2 weeks beyond this tournament will bring? I mean, they want answer. Who's going to play? Who's going to try to risk this? Do you think it? Do you think we'll see some really big names do this, or is it maybe not as big as maybe we're thinking?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, these are all obviously. This is just my personal opinion here. I think growing the game is a fantastic idea, but when you go about it, you have to do it the right way. And I'm not saying they're doing it the right way or the wrong way, but you've got to be careful in how you do it. And I think that's what a lot of the big-time PGA guys are doing right now. They're tiptoeing around it. You're not hearing any chatter about it. Even the guys this week, they've been asking them. They're not really saying much. So it will be interesting to see how the PGA Tour reacts and if they are going to start releasing guys. You know, the commissioner has said all along, I'm not releasing you. But at the end of the day, you think about it, some of them are, I mean, they're just independent contractors. So, you know, a lot of these guys that don't have the opportunity to go sign $50 million endorsement deals with Nike, like Tiger or whoever, you know, there is big money in the LIV organization and in the tournaments. So, you know, you put me on the spot there. I'm kind of torn both ways. You know, I love growing the game of golf, right? But I don't necessarily agree with how aggressive they've been with things. You know, that's all I'll really say about it, but it is going to be fun to watch play out.
Yeah, who's going to jump and who's not, and then what the fallout will be. There's a soap opera happening, and, of course, LIV is the Roman numeral for 54, which is where that name comes from, because they'll be playing in 54-hole tournaments, not 72. So three-day tournaments and team golf in that
team events.
Yeah, team events, which is kind of cool, kind of a Ryder Cup style with what Greg Norman is heading up. Hey, Brett, appreciate it. Always great stuff. Thanks for listening on the Horn app and keeping your ears to us here in Austin. And, you know, we'll check in next week and see how we do at Southern Hills.
Yeah, I got one thing for you. You gonna buy one of those $18 Bud Lights at Southern Hills?
No. No, I'll drink. drink it at my couch. How about that? Right there at Onion Creek, having a cold one watching the tournament this weekend. But no, $18.
That's crazy, man. Hey, give Bucky my best. I love what he's doing. You and Quan have a good time. Zay, I know you'll be out there. You guys have a great tournament, and give Buck my best.
Will do, buddy. Brett Garrett, Titleist Golf, and he sent some balls to the Buck for this tournament. So when you're out at the Mullet Open, there's some Titleist golf ball giveaways, thanks to Brett, which is pretty cool. And those are the number one balls in golf, without a doubt. Yeah, interesting. He likes Jordan Spieth. Iron play will be key. Second shot golf course. Remember, it's just a par 70. So, you know, scoring will be at a premium. A lot of par fours, only a couple par fives on the course in Southern Hills at Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'll try to get a weather update on that, too, because you never know. Spring weather in Tulsa can be finicky, too. I know it'll be hot. There is no doubt. Coming back, we'll pick up the NBA chatter with Zay. We had a lot going on last night with the Heat and Celtics and the NBA's draft lottery. And I'll ask Zay again, is this guy Chet Holmgren? You called him a unicorn, Zay, out of Gonzaga. I'm not. I would be scared if I were Orlando making Chet Holmgren the number one pick. Maybe I'm crazy. We'll debate that coming up, plus the other top stories on a Wednesday. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn, getting you up over the hump. Half hour to go to the top of the hour. That'll be Light the Tower coming your way with Craig and Snoop. Jeff Howe is in commute now. He's headed down to Houston. We talked to Jeff earlier this morning and good conversation. Jeff's headed down there for Steve Sarkisian's appearance at the Touchdown Club of Houston luncheon today. And then you'll hear this from Craig coming up, but Craig Way's going to do the show, and then he's going to jump and head down there for the event tonight, the This is Texas, Texas Fight event put on by the Texas Exes. So, Sark with two events today. And there is Longhorn news today, as we've talked about. Jeff gave us the latest on Jordan Addison, the Pittsburgh receiver. The latest is there really isn't, except for there is no scheduled Alabama trip at this point. And I know Inside Texas reported that he wasn't Jordan Addison going to take a trip to Alabama. It's really come down to two. He's going to choose between Austin and Southern California, USC or Texas. And, you know, there's, as the way Jeff Howe put it, quiet confidence, quietly optimistic that this thing could fall their way. And as Jeff said, they've gone all in. I mean, they've made their pitch. They think they've made a really strong impression on Jordan Addison, who's, as we say, you know, he's a 2BA junior, which means he comes in with veteran experience. He won the Biletnikoff a year ago. He would immediately become the most experienced receiver in the Texas locker room and on the Texas roster. I mean, Xavier Worthy had a great freshman year, but he was a freshman. Jordan Addison starred as a freshman and a sophomore for Pittsburgh and would be coming into his junior season. And as we pointed out with Mr. Howe, but you know, Jordan Whittington's injury issues have plagued him. If he's on the field, he's really good. Isaiah Nair is a unproven product, but looks really good from Wyoming. And we know what Xavier Worthy is. Jordan Addison immediately becomes the best receiver Texas has, and more than just insurance, he becomes an absolute their offense. I mean, think about it, Zay. If you have Bijan Robinson at running back, the preseason favorite to win awards like the Doak Walker and maybe the Heisman, best running back in the country, with then the best receiver in the country. With the other stable of receivers we talk about and running backs, that's pretty potent. That could be a scary three-headed monster if Quinn Ewers emerges as a freshman and can lead the way at quarterback.
Hell yeah, it is. And I get why you want to drink the Kool-Aid offensively, because all them weapons, how can you not put up 40 points a game? And if Addison comes along, obviously that will be a huge addition. But who knows what those guys at USC are telling them. You know, the weed's legal up there. I saw Kevin Durant in the interview with David.
Did you say the weed's legal?
Yeah, I saw Kevin Durant with an interview with David Letterman talking about how he's high right now and how he's such an advocate for weed and stuff. So that gets guys. So maybe if he comes here, Matthew McConaughey could hook his plug up with Addison. Hopefully they get in trouble that way. We know the laws. But still, I don't know how USC is going to flip him from coming to the 40 acres.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I mean, so yesterday after the show, Zay, I went over and had lunch and got a tour of a new facility. It's relatively new. You know Jeremy Hills, the former Longhorn running back?
Yes.
His brother Tony was a great lineman at Texas. And Kenny Vaccaro and a group have started a gym, essentially a fitness center called The Collective. It's downtown, right off South Congress. Great spot. Really cool place. Got a tour of it yesterday, and I point this out because it's a members group. You gotta be a member there, but you can work out, and they've got everything you need essentially. Kenny Vaccaro said it's kind of like an NFL facility. You don't have to go anywhere. They got full medical. They've got saunas and ice tubs and everything you need, plus work facilities if you want to work out and then get some work done. Really a cool place called The Collective with a K. And I was there, and former Longhorn quarterback Casey Thompson was there working out, getting his work in. But they pointed out to me that last week when Jordan Addison was here, Bijan Robinson brought him over to The Collective, and it was pretty unanimous that he had a great visit. Like, you could tell he really enjoyed the vibe, not just at the facility, but while he was in Austin. He had a really good connection with Bijan. I mean, that was no joke. I mean, those dudes were hanging out, and as it was said that Jordan was supposed to just be here for a day or two, and he ended up staying 3 days because he had such a good time. Then he went off to USC. So we'll see, and we'll get more on that Collective, by the way. That place is really cool. Excited for Jeremy and Kenny and that team that's putting that together. That's a neat place. A lot of NFL players and former Longhorns work out over there, and really a cool spot. But they had a good vibe. They were like, man, Bijan rolled in here. Jordan was with him, and he was giving the tour. I don't know if they were in the Lambo. I didn't ever get that 411 that maybe they parked the Lambo out in the
Gotta
park.
Take the Lambo and the Canes drive-thru. Take the Lambo everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
We'll see. Who knows when that decision comes down, but it is good news for both USC and Texas that it doesn't look like there's going to be an Alabama visit in the future, and that he's going to come down to these two, and we'll see. That will come. But there also was good news with Jeff on Ajai Hall, because there, as Jeff called it, shoddy reporting yesterday from the Alabama side that maybe Ajai Hall was wavering on his commitment to Texas. He's the Alabama transfer who's coming in after his freshman year at Alabama, recruited originally by Steve Sarkisian and Jeff Banks to Alabama. Now he's going to rejoin them. There was some reporting on the Alabama side that, oh my gosh, he's taken all of his Texas stuff off of his social media platforms. It doesn't say Texas anymore, but as Jeff pointed out, he took that down a long time ago. But if you actually look at his timeline, he's been retweeting stuff about Jordan Addison. He's been retweeting stuff about the Longhorns. And according to his 7-on-7 coach, he is planning to enroll at Texas here in June, take summer classes, work out this summer. And he'll be another addition to that wide receiver room, which you know Steve Sarkisian has made a point of emphasis. And, you know, it's fair to say if they end up officially with a Jai Hall, and we'll keep our fingers crossed on Jordan Addison, you know, people want to play. It's fair to say that Steve Sarkisian has presented a vision enough that top players want to play in this offense. They want to play for Steve Sarkisian. They saw it when he was at Alabama and had four number one, you know, top first-round draft pick wide receivers and a first-round running back in Najee Harris and a first-round quarterback in Tua and Jalen Hurts, who – They all got fed. I mean, they all got to produce. They all scored. They all played because people think, well, there's only one ball. Is this going to create chemistry issues? Clearly, Sark and, you know, Brennan Marion, the receivers coach, have presented the idea of, hey, we'll get you the ball. We're going to feed you. And you know, that's a vision Steve Sarkisian is selling, and players are buying it, appears.
Yeah, if I'm going to that receiver group, I'm showing them the picture of Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle all standing together and saying, hey, look at what all these guys did in the NFL. We're not talking about off the field. We're talking about on the field. But, yeah, just show them something like that and say, this could be you guys, and we could put up points here, and we could start something that hasn't been done in about a decade or so. So, yeah, it's very exciting, very optimistic, but there's still a quarterback battle that everybody thinks is – already settled. It ain't.
Well, you're right. Quinn Ewers has to earn that job, and Quinn Ewers has to earn the team, and that really will start this summer and will continue and began this spring, but it will really extend into the summer. And it is interesting. We talked earlier, you know, Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, but also over at Inside Texas and On Three Sports. Really, really good article by Eric Nahlin, who is their insider over there at Inside Texas. And he talked about Coach Sark's push to become a player-led team and to create kind of, you know, I know headed into the offseason, we talked to our friend Colonel Craig Flowers, the leadership expert and, you know, full colonel in the military. You hear him every Saturday. And he talked about creating elite teams. One of the most valuable tools is peer reviews, right, where you're judged by your peers. It's not coach to coach, position coaches, everybody telling you what you're doing well and not. Your peers, your teammates tell you what they think of you. And in that push, according to Inside Texas, this offseason, a big part of the winter offseason before the spring practice revolve around a team-wide competition in which eight players on the team that were already, you know, established as captains, I'm assuming Roschon Johnson would be one of those guys, DeMarvion Overshown are guys that would immediately jump out. It doesn't say who they were. But the competition was based on physical competition, so you're looking for the best, you know, dudes. But at the same time, it was more importantly for Sark's goals, it was based on measures of personal accountability and generally doing things the right way. Are you a good teammate? Are you doing things the way it needs to be done in all phases? And so they had a draft, and the eight captains or the eight leaders drafted players. And it says, according to Inside Texas, the most important aspect of the whole exercise, it revealed what fellow players thought of their teammates as they drafted and went through round after round of draft. And about halfway through the draft, Sark asked the players who had been selected and the captains to leave the room. And at that point, he had a meeting with those that were still available, saying, this is what your teammates think about your accountability and effort. You're being told right here because you haven't been drafted yet. So the previously drafted players then returned to the room. And the draft continued. Once they reached the final round, there was one more round of eight to go. Sark instructed everybody but those who were still undrafted to leave the room again and laid into those guys a little harder, saying essentially he challenged them, it says, to figure out if they want to remain in the program. Like, this is your peer review. You've been told, you're still standing here and have not been drafted. Might want to take that into account. Now, we won't know how this is going to work, where it's going to go. But clearly, Steve Sarkisian trying to force the issue or create a situation where, you know, doing something like this, they also empowers players. It also empowers the locker room to take control. I mean, the eight captains for sure, but, you know, the guys that were drafted first by those captains can then say, look, okay, I'm a leader too. They respect what I'm doing, and I can become more of a leader. And clearly the guys that were still there halfway through – can look at that, and I'm assuming some of them were thinking, I'm doing things the right way. Well, maybe not, right? Peer review, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And first thing I thought about when you presented the story was the Moro Ojimo statements and how badly that went and how you could go about it a different way. And I think this is a different way to go about it, where you're still holding guys accountable, but allowing to get off your chest what you need to get off as a player. And hopefully these guys have came to a good conclusion to where this is what we need to do going forward. Listen to what your peers say about you. And some of these guys could either look in the mirror and get better, or they could leave.
Yeah. Well, and we saw a lot of guys into the portal right after spring.
Yeah, for sure.
This happened in the winter. Eric Nalin over at Inside Texas also in this story described something called the shirt system, where, you know, after the draft and what went on through the winter, guys who were doing the basics and doing the things right and in that camp were given burnt orange shirts. Those in the middle were given gray shirts, and the bottom tier that weren't pulling their, you know, getting it done properly wore white shirts. And then the white shirt was basically like a scarlet letter, like, hey, everyone knows, there's no secret here. And according to Inside Texas, the percentage breakdowns were roughly 80% were wearing orange shirts, 10 gray, and 10 white. And obviously, if you know the numbers there, you're trying to pull those 10% into the 80% and lead it. And if the other 10% that are in white aren't getting on board, then they're going to get gone. That's where, to me, whether this works or not, and some people will hear this and think it's just like Tom Herman with the runny eggs and the competitions he did. I think Tom did it in a different way and more of a winner-loser kind of thing. This is empowering the locker room to take control, letting them do it, allowing the leaders to lead, forcing, you know, guys who maybe aren't living up to their peers' expectations to have to see that and be a part of that. And we'll see. We'll see where this goes for them. But I just know that where Steve Sarkisian, Jeff Banks, you know, Kyle Flood, where they came from at Alabama, Nick Saban has built that, where it is a player-led locker room. If a guy shows up at Alabama and he's not pulling it, and he's not doing it the way, it's going to be the leaders of the team that are going to make sure that gets adjusted. Now, it eventually will get to Nick Saban if it doesn't get fixed, but the first line of defense on that is your team and your locker room and your players in the locker room. We talked earlier in the 7 o'clock hour about this very conversation with Quan Cosby, my teammate at the Mullet Open on Friday. But Quan said loves it and said this is what they had at Texas when he was there. I mean, he walked in, and remember, Quan played 4 years of minor league baseball coming out of high school, so he came back to Texas as a freshman the year Texas won the national championship, and he walked into a locker room, and he was an adult at that point, and said, man, it was, you know, guys like Casey Studdard, guys like Lyle Sendlin, guys like Vince, I mean, it no joke. I mean, we got things we want to do. We got places we want to go, and you're either with it, and you're on board, and you're going to be a part of it, or, you know, we're going to move on without you. That's... And again, you don't change it overnight. It took a while for Mac Brown to build that culture at Texas, and it took the right guys. But this is obviously Sark's way, avenue towards that, and we'll see where that goes. I thought that was very interesting. Well done by Eric Nalin over at Inside Texas behind the scenes of the Texas offseason, which, by the way, if you take the order of that, winter workouts with this draft and peer reviews and players empowered to take control of the locker room into spring, and then out of spring, where you've seen guys who, you know, want to get in the portal and move on, make that decision. There's been a good number of them, 7, 8, 9 players into the portal for Texas. Well, the next step now, as Sark said last week, critical is the summer workouts. That's where here we come. Everybody reports back. The freshman class that weren't early enrollees will also join coming up right after Memorial Day, and it's about who's on point and ready to go. We'll see. Sark has called that critical to where this season goes, and obviously turning around a 5-win team from a year ago. The talent appears to be there. They still have questions defensively. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but the offense seems stacked. There's a ton of talented young players walking in here starting a couple weeks from now, but the mindset will be critical because clearly there were a lot of guys last year not pulling the same direction, and we saw that manifest itself in a 6-game losing streak and a loss to Kansas. And just a dreadful season for the Longhorns. We'll see if this is a step in that direction. We'll be back. When we do, Zay will make his final thoughts and give his final thoughts on this game tonight. You Dallas Maverick fans will be at the TV 8 o'clock tonight to see Game 1 Warriors-Mavs. Also, we'll give away the two spots in the Mini Mullet Open coming back on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, for the end of this segment, we're going to let you know how you can play in tomorrow's Mini Mullet Open. It's a pre-tournament to the tournament, but it's got prizes and food afterwards and all the fun. It was for the overflow crowd, and we've got two spots that we'll let you know how you can be a part of it. We're going to give you a little call-in opportunity, but don't call if you can't play and you don't have a partner that can play on tomorrow, on Thursday. And we'll be out at the Mullet Open on Friday, of course. All right, so Zay, some guys had some rough nights. I said the Boston Celtics had a rough second half last night. That's safe to say. Also, the starting pitcher for the Sam Houston Bearcats, he had himself a rough go himself. You know, how about this? You go in with a game plan, right? You know you're playing Texas. You know Ivan Melendez is the best hitter in college baseball, and you know you have to face him in the first inning. This dude goes out there and gives up a single and a single, and the starter Rudess. Now he's facing Ivan Melendez with two aboard and nobody out, and he gives up the home run. He's like, oh, that's not how you start. He ended up giving seven runs, five of them earned in the first inning. That's one of those, as a former player, you're like, oh, gosh, how did I end up here? I mean, I got Melendez in third. I got to get some outs, but rough for him. Meanwhile, at Fenway Park in Boston, Nathan Eovaldi, the right-hander, had himself a good first inning. He went five pitches to go through the Astros the first time in the first frame, came back in the second inning and gave up a major league record five home runs in one inning. Five home runs in one inning, Zay.
Struggling.
And the Red Sox left him out there to give up all five of them. Becomes just the third pitcher in baseball history to give up five home runs in one inning. Astros the eighth team ever to hit five in one frame. And the Astros going to win that 13-4. Astros playing some pretty good baseball. They won 13-15. Rangers also had a seven-run inning of their own. They rallied for seven in the seventh to beat the Angels 10-5. So big innings were the name of the game. Big quarter for Miami last night, 39-14. And what do we expect tonight, Zay? It is Mavericks-Warriors. In the last 10 meetings between these two teams, the Mavericks have won eight of them. The Mavericks won three of the four this season. And I know you like them in seven games, but what about tonight?
Oh, look for the Mavericks to steal one tonight. You know, again, Luka is the best player in the series. I'm not saying he's better than Steph Curry all time, but at this point of his career at 23, Steph at 34, I think Luka is that dude. But that guy on the other side, number 30, he could be a problem also. I don't know how they're going to play him, whether he comes off screens and you double him or you just do a lot of your bumping and grinding before he gets the ball, because that's how you got to beat him up. I mean, he's a smaller guy, so you could bump him off of his spots at times, but he's so damn good without the ball. Jordan Poole's so good with the ball in his hands. The Klay Thompson, Jalen Brunson matchup is going to be huge too. So this is going to be a hell of a series. A lot of threes being taken, but I still think the Mavs have a good shot of winning this thing.
And if you're looking at the Vegas numbers, the Mavericks are getting 5 points, and you like them to maybe steal the game. That might be a good value. It might be a good value for you right there. But we'll see. Now, again, we saw the Mavericks get smoked in game one of their series with Phoenix. And you can kind of tell Jason Kidd is trying to, the early rounds of a boxing match. You know, what's working, what's not. What are the matchups that favor us? And that's where you give Jason Kidd a ton of credit for the Phoenix series, because as it went on, they made more and more adjustments, even when they lost, the first couple of games. And as you said, putting Luka into the post really swung that series, and allowing Jalen Brunson to flourish on the perimeter while Luka went down low. And that's the scary part. That's the versatility of Luka. Play perimeter, play in the paint, go to the paint. He's just such a nightmare to stop for anybody.
Yeah, he is. And the Warriors, just like everybody else in the league, they don't have anybody that can stop him. Yes, Draymond's a great defender, but you don't want to take away what Draymond does offensively because you're overexerting him defensively by guarding him, Luka. So look for Andrew Wiggins to check him some. Look for Jonathan Kuminga. Even Keon Looney, the center for the Golden State Warriors. You throw anybody on Luka just to slow him down and give him different looks and show him different options. But at the end of the day, I think he's the best scorer in the world, and he'll find a way and figure it out.
Wow, interesting. And people wouldn't think this because it should be an offensive series, but if you're paying attention to the numbers for the season, these are two of the five best defenses in the NBA. Dallas was number two overall in total scoring defense this year. Golden State was number five. Golden State was 5 in 3-point defense. Dallas was 2. These two teams play very, very good defense, and that's what's changed for the Mavericks. Jason Kidd's got that team buying in to getting stops, knowing how tough they are to stop offensively because of Luka. If you can get stops, you just wore Phoenix out. I mean, the dominance that they went through Phoenix in the final two games of that series is still head-scratching. And they won both games by a combined 60 points. You wonder, can they carry that momentum right into this series and then pick right up there with the confidence that they had? Because if Dallas can play some defense anywhere close to what they did against the Suns, they're going to have a real opportunity here to get a jump and get game one tonight. 8 o'clock will be the tip time. Really, really fun series, I think, with a lot of star power. Steph, quickest release in the history of the game?
Oh, yeah, not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. It barely touches his hands before it's in the air.
It's unbelievable. Think about that. The greatest shooter of all time also has the quickest release of all time.
He's probably a top five ball handler of all time, too.
Yeah, yeah. And always fun to watch Steph. Usually delivers in these big spots. But can they attack him defensively becomes a question. He's a liability on that end of the floor. Fun game tonight. Should be a fun week. We got golf. Go make those picks at hornfm.com for the PGA Championship. And right now, if you want to play in the Mini Mullet Open tomorrow, Wolf Dancer, you and a buddy, call Zay right now and let him know you want to play. And Zay will hook you up, and you can be out there tomorrow, courtesy of the Buck and the Mullet Open folks. And it all benefits the Burke Center for Youth. If you missed Quan Cosby this morning, you missed Jeff Howe and his Longhorn update, all of our conversations, Zay's thoughts on the Mavs and the Warriors, go back and listen to it on the podcast. You'll enjoy that. We appreciate you doing it. Coming next, it's Light the Tower, Shirts and Skins, Ball Don't Lie this afternoon as well. It's a full day, live, local, and digital on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And we're always streaming for you on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.